This is 1 Kings 18 and 17. It came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Lord. Thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. That's my conclusion of my reading. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Isn't it interesting how that whenever trouble and problems are going on, folks want to blame the church. They want to blame Christians for the problem. But the problems of our world and the problems of our nation, the problems that are in the church world, are not because of the people of God, but it's because of those who are worshiping the wrong thing. They're following and worshiping the wrong thing. Now, Elijah, this prophet of God, he spoke, and there were three different kinds of people in this showdown on Mount Carmel. There was Elijah, the man of God. Then there were the false prophets, the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of the groves. So that's 850 of them. And then there was this group of people that Elijah spoke to, and he said to them, you're playing both sides of this thing. You want to serve God, and you want to serve Baal too. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to be in the middle there and never really committing yourself either way? Amen. Now, that third crowd was the undecided crowd. They were the crowd that was not willing to make a decision, or certainly not willing to make the right decision. Remember there in Revelation, he talked to the Laodicean church, and he said, I would that you were either cold or hot, one way or the other, instead of being lukewarm. Because he said, when you're lukewarm, God will spew you out of his mouth. He'll reject you. Now, what Elijah was doing to those people was he was calling them out to declare themselves, to say who they were and who they were worshiping and who they were following. But notice what it says in verse 21. It says, and the people answered him not a word. They still were not ready, even though he's calling them out. Now, I sent this over to Brother James, who always makes these nice sermon slides. I said, I think I'm going to call this All In. I had no idea. You have to realize how I grew up. I grew up in a house that didn't, my mother wouldn't even allow a deck of playing cards in the house. Amen. Amen. She wouldn't allow a deck of playing cards in the house because she thought it was associated with gambling. And so she didn't want us to have that kind of an influence. So I was older before I even knew very much about a deck of cards. I still don't know much. I've never played any of these games. I've never played poker. I've never played any of these games. But when I got to looking into this, I realized that all in is a term that they use when they're playing poker or some card game, and they say, All right, this is it. I'm gonna put all my chips in, and I'm gonna gamble it. I'm gonna put all of it on the line. I'm all in. And they either have the good hand that's gonna win the game, or they're bluffing. One of the two, and they say, I'm all in. So I don't really know much about that terminology. Whenever I say all in, I'm speaking of it more in terms of your spiritual commitment. Are you all in? Are you completely committed? Have you committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and the call of God? You see, that what was going on is that there had been 3.5 years of no rain. It is dry, and almost always in the scripture, whenever there is a drought physically, there's also a drought spiritually. So there's a spiritual lesson here as well. They really are in need, and they have turned to false gods. They had turned to Baal, and they are worshiping other things. But there's a large crowd of people that aren't willing to serve and really commit to either one. They had their altar to Jehovah, and on the other side of the room was their altar to Baal. They wanted both. They wanted to serve the true and the living God, and they wanted to serve Baal also. You know, you're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to accomplish anything for God if you do not commit yourself to moving forward with God and leaving it all behind, everything else behind. You can't do anything in any area of your life. You cannot succeed. You can't succeed in marriage. You can't succeed in family. You cannot succeed in business. There's no way that you can succeed in any venture at all that you might be involved in if you are uncommitted. Uncommitted. If you are not all in. If you are not committed, you are going to fail. And if you don't fail, you're certainly not going to be able to succeed like God wants you to be able to succeed. So to live a life that's half-hearted and uncommitted will lead you to a place of disappointment and failure. You'll never be able to be what God wants you to be. But every one of us at some time or another in our life, in our spiritual walk, we have come to crossroads in our life where we've had to make a decision. Am I going to follow the Lord wholeheartedly, or am I going to take another pathway? Am I going to take an easier route? Am I going to, you know, have my Sunday morning church, but then after that, I'm just going to involve myself in everything else that I enjoy and fill up my life with all the things of the world, but I still want my church fix. I still want to come to church every once in a while. You'll never get anywhere with God or for God if you are not willing at that place, that crossroads in your life, to say, Lord, I'm yours no matter what. No matter what you want to do with me, no matter where you want to send me, no matter what the calling might be upon my life, no matter what you want me to do with my life, no matter how you choose for me to live my life, Lord, I belong to you. That's the kind of all-in that every one of us need to make. Amen. A complete commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about this guy by the name of Cortez. He was a Spanish conqueror. He landed on the coast of Mexico in a place called Veracruz. This is like 1521. And he had experienced a lot of failures and setbacks in some of his efforts to conquer different territories and areas of Mexico and Cuba and other areas. And so he was so committed to going in and to conquering this land and actually destroying the whole empire of the Aztecs. And that was his commitment. He had 600 men, he had 16 horses, and he had a few cannons, and that's all. But when they all got off of the ships, there were 11 of those ships. When he got off of the ships, he told his men, pull all those ships to the shore and burn them. He burned all of the ships. Those men realized this guy meant business. We are not going back. We are not going back. We are not going to retreat. He burned all the ships, knowing that in front of him was 200 miles of some of the worst terrain, wild beasts and snakes and all kinds of terrible weather. But that's what they had. He knew that if he didn't make an absolute commitment, that some of his men would lose heart and they'd want to go back. And so he made the commitment and he burned the boats. A lot of Christians need to do that. Because as soon as you get discouraged and you lose heart, then you just begin to back up. Your commitment becomes less and less. You back away from the things of God. You lose heart and you're not willing. Cortez would not retreat. He would not turn back. Those 600 men with the 16 horses and the few cannons went and they conquered the entire Aztec Empire. He did it through sheer determination and commitment. I am never turning back. Now, I don't know about you, but there has to be that kind of a commitment in the life of a Christian. If you really want to be able to do something for God and become something for the Lord, you're going to have to be willing to say, okay, God, this is it. I'm not going back. I don't have any interest in the world. I have no interest in the things that Satan has to offer. All I want is you, Lord. All I want is the truth. All I want is to follow you and to walk in your ways and to follow you, Lord, in obedience to your word. Are you committed? Are you all in for Jesus Christ? Are you all in? They say that when pilots take off, that there's a certain part of that takeoff that they're able to abort the flight and turn back and land it. But there's also a certain height and a certain position that they get in that many times the pilot will radio back into the tower and say, I'm committed. I'm committed. That means I'm going to fly. I'm going to fulfill this flight plan. I am not going to stop. I can't turn around. A lot of Christians need to do that. They need to make a commitment and say, I am all in. I am not going to turn back. Now all of these people that are there that day on Mount Carmel, they have had 3.5 years have come and gone. And they should have been convinced by the fact that God said through the prophet, 3.5 years and it's not going to rain, not even one drop of water. That's how dry it's going to get. That's how awful it's going to be. They should have realized that God was the God, the Lord God Jehovah was in charge of even the weather and every circumstance, and it should have convinced them that they needed to commit themselves to the Lord. It should have. I have seen people go through all kinds of heartache and trouble in their lives, and they go through so many things, and you would think they would learn the lesson. You would think they would learn by all of the hardship. Let me tell you, the way of a transgressor is a hard way. Living a life of sin is a hard life. But I've seen people suffer and suffer and go through pain and trouble and problems and family breakups and all kinds of situations that they go through, and they still won't give in to God. They still won't give in. They still won't commit to the Lord. After all of these things, that's the condition that these people are in. And when Elijah says to them, why are you halting? Why are you waiting and lingering after all of this time? Haven't you heard the message that God's in control and that you should surrender yourself to the Lord? And I don't know, I might be talking to some people right here at this service today. You've been through a lot, but you haven't really committed yourself. You're not really all in. You haven't sold out completely to Jesus. You haven't given him your life. You still hold some things in reserve. You still have an altar to Baal alongside of your altar to the true and the living God. There's things that you still want to worship. There's things that you still want to fill your life up with, that you love those things and you're not really willing to completely sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to do. Amen. When I went away to Bible school, it was the hardest decision I ever made. Going to that little Bible school, just about like the one Marty went to, maybe a little different, but almost about like that one in Pennsylvania. And there were just so many things about it. The flesh was just screaming, no, no, I don't want to live that way. I don't want to buckle down and have that kind of a level of commitment. I don't want that. But the Lord wanted it. He wanted it. He wanted me to learn important things. Do you understand that if you don't sell out at that crossroads and go all in for Jesus Christ, there's a lot of things that God has planned for you that are never going to be realized. You're going to miss out on the plan of God. You're going to keep fumbling around in your life with one failure after another because you're not willing to completely commit yourself to God's will for your life. It will go against the flesh. It will be hard for the flesh to endure some of the things that God may ask you to do, but you need to be willing to lay it all on the altar and give it to Jesus and get the altar of Baal out of here, out of your home and out of your life, and worship the one true and the living God and lay aside all of the idol worship. Now, I don't mean that you have an actual idol in your living room, but there are a lot of things that have robbed you of your commitment and your real worship unto the true and the living God. Things that steal your time and your heart and your affection, and you're pursuing after them and you love them. And if you'll be honest with yourself, you love them more than you love God. And they're competing with your affection for the Lord. And the Lord wants you to clear all the idols out. He wants you to remove all those things from your heart and from your life, and make Jesus Christ and his plan. Now, we devise plans, don't we? We make plans for our life and think, oh, this would be good. I'd like to do this. I'd like to accomplish this. I want to do all of these things. And it's okay to have a plan. But if your plan is not right in the middle of God's will and his plan, your plan is going to lead you in a way that is not going to be for your good. Amen. Amen. I think some folks, we need to burn some boats. We need to burn some ships. We need to say, Lord, that's over with. I'm not going back to that no more. I'm not going to live after that anymore. I'm not going to live that kind of a life. I'm not going to pursue those things. No turning back for me. I want to go all the way. I want to conquer and be a conqueror. I want to live in victory. I want to enjoy, Lord, the things that you have for me. Amen. Now, Elijah demanded a distinction. He demanded it. He said, if you're going to serve Baal, then serve him. If you're going to serve Baal, then forget about trying to serve the true and the living God. You can't put them together. You can't mix them together. If you're going to serve the one true and the living God, then serve him and put away all of the idols. Amen. Glory to God. You can't serve God and mammon. Actually, if you look at that word mammon, it really has to do with idolatry and worshiping possessions and riches and money. And so Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Amen. There's a call today for all of us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to go all in for God. I mean, what would happen? What would happen if this group right here committed themselves to seek the Lord with their whole heart? They committed themselves to the Word of God and to prayer and to be filled with the Spirit. They committed themselves to the work of the ministry, whatever God calls you to do. What would happen If we begin to commit our lives and our time and our possessions and everything that we have to the work of the kingdom of God, it would be a dramatic change, wouldn't it? It would be amazing. What would change if we were really all in, if we burned the ships and said, I'm never going to go back. I belong to the Lord from this day forward. I'm not going to go back to the ways of the world or any of the things of this world. Amen. There may be some of us here in this service today. We need to do that. We need to forget those things that are behind and press forward to the things that are ahead. Amen. The things that God has for us. We need to forget those things. Forget about the former life. Forget about the things that you have loved and you've had this desire and affection for, the things of the world. Elijah called them to a life of distinction. You're either belonging to God or you're going to follow Baal. But if you're going to serve God, then serve him. Then serve the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord with your whole heart. How long, he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long are you going to totter in between? How long? It had been, like I said, 3.5 years of drought. And they had gone through all these terrible, difficult times through that drought. And it should have been a wake-up call for them. The things that you've gone through, it should have been a wake-up call to you. To wake up, to realize I need the Lord. I need Jesus. I need to commit my life, my future, my all to the Lord. And that's the life of real joy, isn't it? Amen. Amen. Now, if I hadn't have decided to go to that Bible school, then Marcia wouldn't be my wife, because that's where I met her. And so I probably wouldn't be here today. Who knows where I would be? And when I start looking at the life and the future, and think all that was weighing so much on that one decision. Most of the people that are my friends in ministry across the country are people that either went to that school or are associated with that school. Not all, but many of them. So everything would have been changed. And I was young, and I was trying to do the right thing. I actually visited some other Bible colleges in Texas and other places and considered them. But I knew in my heart that's where God wanted me to be. And it was a tough decision. But it was the right one. It was the right one. And now I can say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that somehow there were people praying for me and there are people supporting me and encouraging me to make the right move. And some of us here this morning, we need to make a move toward God. Amen. We need to make a decision to commit ourselves. You say, well, I come to church. I'm here every Sunday. But, you know, you can go to church and never commit yourself to the Lord. You can be right here in the pews and never go all in for Jesus. Really commit yourself for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's calling us to do here today. Amen. Great men of God like Moses. Moses, he said, see, I've set before this day life and death. Life and good and death and evil. He said, choose. I've set it before you. Make a choice. Every one of us have to choose to do the right thing. Amen. Amen. And Joshua, same thing. Moses' successor, seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which were your fathers, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That was his decision. And we all have decisions to make. Decisions that affect our tomorrow, our future, what's going to happen to us a year from now, 10 years from now. Decisions that you might make even today in this service could have much to do with your future and your eternity even. The decision you make to respond to God's word and to do what God is calling you to do. So we are often at a crossroads. We're often at a place where we have to make some choices. We have to burn some boats. We have to turn our back on things and determine, Lord, I belong to you. I'm going to serve you from this day forward. I belong to you. You need to make that kind of a commitment, that kind of a vow to the Lord. Amen. That's what you do when you get married. You make a vow to that companion from this day forward. Amen. Keep your promise. Keep your commitment. Burn the bridges. Burn the boats behind you. And make sure that there's no way that you can go back. Be committed to the things of the Lord. Your future depends upon it. Your calling depends upon it. All that God wants to do for you and in your life, it all depends upon your willingness to humble yourself and say, okay, Lord, I'm yours. I'm going to kick out all the idols, all the things that are robbing my affection for you, and I'm going to give myself to you 100%. I'm going to give myself to you, Lord, completely. What a wonderful thing that it is. And then when you do, you're going to realize my favorite verse, my life verse, is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end, to give you a hope and a future. Praise God. A lot of people live out the days of their life, and they're getting older, and the years go by, and they're living for themselves, and they're satisfying themselves. They're serving Baal and living after their own desires. And they realize as they're getting older, Lord, the years are going by and I'm losing the opportunity and I'm missing out on the plan that you had for me. What you wanted to do with my life, here's what the Lord can do. If you're 20 or if you're 50 or if you're 70, it really doesn't make any difference. If this day you say, Lord, I am yours and I'm following you from this day forward, God still has a plan. Amen. And he can take you right where you are. And with all your failures and all your bad decisions and all the, you know, the wreckage of your past, he can take you right where you are and he can change your life and he can give you a hope and a future. And he can do something mighty in your life in ways you could never imagine. All the wonderful things that God has in store for you if you would just be willing to go all in. Amen. Completely for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus. Surrender to the Lord and just see what he will do in your life as you commit yourself to the Lord. Elijah said, why halt you between two opinions? Why are you taking so long to make a choice? Make a decision. Make a choice and serve the Lord. Amen. And that's what we all need to do. We need to respond to the Lord today. Would you just bow your heads with me here today? Hallelujah. There's nothing more wonderful, no greater joy than having surrendered yourself completely to the Lord. Amen. Giving yourself to Jesus 100%. That's what he wants. That's what he wants from you. It's what he wants from me. He wants your life to be wrapped up in pursuing his will, doing the things that please the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you and make you think, well, there's nothing that God could ever do with me. I've made too many mistakes. I've failed God. Oh, that's the enemy. That's the devil lying to you. It's not the truth. It is not the truth. He is the God that can take you right where you are and make something new out of you. Hallelujah. He can change your heart. He can change your life. He can change your future. Everything can be different from this day forward if you're willing to sell out, to go all in for Jesus. Hallelujah.